I was just wondering. I mean, I was so good. I was just going like, whoa, man. Well, Pastor, it's about 11:30, and we need to go home at 12. We got sandwiches back there for you today. So you would not bother me a bit if you just go back and grab a sandwich. You want to eat a sandwich, you know, that's okay with me. So I won't try to keep you past 2:30 today. So that's all right. Amen. You know, you only get out here once a week. So just, well, enjoy yourself, right? Grab a sandwich and get a Coke and hang out, man. Let the word flow. Praise God. God is good to us. Praise the Lord. Why don't you stand this morning and turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5, 6, 7. Philippians 4, 5, 6, 7. And I think we're going to put this up in the Amplified, Aaron. And praise the Lord. There's a lot of places that you could go on a Sunday morning to church. You know, you could go and gather. But I just want to thank you for being here. You are loved today. Thank you, Robert. I wasn't expecting any of that at all. That was just a real blessing. Over the years that we've been here, that has seldom happened. And I just want to thank you. And thank you, guys. Yes, I'm off the road. Thank God. I don't want to go back. I know there's so much more ministry here taking place and should take place, but I just want to thank you and tell you from the bottom of my heart, I love you. Each one of you are so important to us. You are just the most beautiful people on earth, and you are so special, and I thank God for each of you. Amen, and God is good. Amen. All right, let's look at Paul's writing this morning. Let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness, your consideredness, your forbearing spirit. Why? Because the Lord is near. He is coming soon. I believe not only that, he is just here with us, right? So all men, what it's really saying is let all men see your graciousness. Let everyone see, be aware, see, manifest your graciousness to all people. That is so awesome. Why can't you do that? Because the Lord is near. Do not fret or have any, everybody say any, anxiety. Do not fret and have any anxiety. There is so much anxiety. My family is really prone to anxiety. I don't know why it is, but my family is prone to anxiety. Maybe you are prone to anxiety. And the Bible says, don't have it. Don't have it. Don't have any of it. Don't take any of it. About anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, what? Definite request. With what? Thanksgiving. Continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace, shalom, shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God and being content with earthly's lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I just preached the word. It's gone. Go home. No. Amen. It's awesome. It's awesome. When you are able to comprehend that in your mind, it's awesome. Amen. Hold up your Bible this morning. Let's say it like we mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Give somebody a high five and says, you're at peace today. Peace to you today. Amen. Thank you, sister. Praise God. You know, I don't want to go, I'm teaching so many times because there's so much religious stuff out there. There's so much misunderstanding of God's grace, God's love. There's so much religion out in the world. I almost have to feel like every time I get up and start to teach again because new people come in, that I have to go back and do some basic teaching that most of us who have been in this church and in this ministry for a while already know. So I know you already know this, but I need to go back and just, you know, clarify some things for people that may not know this, or maybe new, or maybe watching for the first time. And so one of the things that people don't understand has been taught wrongly and errantly for years, that man is just a two-part being, that man is made up of body and soul. And what they say about the soul is that it's your eternal soul. That's the part of you that is saved eternally. But that is not true. You are actually made in the image of God. You are made in God's image. God is a triune being, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You have a body, you possess a soul, but you are spirit man and woman. Your spirit man and woman is what's going to live throughout eternity. That is your connection with God. That is the part of you that's really been born again. That is what's been made new in you. When Paul said old things passed away, you know what? You were ugly before you got saved. You're ugly after you got saved. Your body didn't change. You know, if you had a little extra weight before you got saved, you still may have a little extra weight after you get saved. Just saying. Just saying. Amen. So your body didn't change, and you have a soul. Your soul is your mind, will, and your emotions. Some would say your personality. Then you have your spirit, which is totally brand new, born again, hallelujah, just like Jesus. When the Bible says, as he is, so are we in this present world, it's talking about your spirit. Your spirit is 100% complete, just like Jesus, forgiven, filled with the Holy Spirit, sealed, hallelujah, forever, guaranteed on that. That's who you are in Christ. Everything that's been given has been given in your spirit, man. Whoa! That's why the Bible says you are complete in him. Where? In your spirit, in your born-again spirit. The thing is, we need to get that out into the manifestation, into this life that we're living in. Amen. In our born-again spirit. So the challenge is really living this life and overcoming or renewing our soulish realm to everything that we have in the spirit realm. And we do that by renewing our mind, because the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12 that the Word of God actually is able to divide between soul and spirit. It had its soul right there. Amen. And the Word of God is a reflection of who we are in the spirit. Y'all got to get this morning. Amen. It's so vitally important that you understand this, that you get this. It's the foundation where so many people mess up, because when they're born again, they say, well, nothing's changed. No, not on the outside, but everything's changed in your spirit. On the outside, you're being transformed by renewing your mind to what you have in the spirit and in the soul realm. I was thinking the other day, in our soul realm, you know, we have our mind, will, and emotions, you know, and the Bible says that we don't walk by what? Sight. We walk by what? We walk by faith, right? We walk by faith. So, but sight is not always our biggest challenge. Natural sight is not always our biggest challenge in the soul realm. Hearing is not always our biggest challenge in the soul realm. Don't preach ahead of me here, sister. Hang on. Yes, she already got there. She let the cat out of the bag. And I don't like cats. I'm sorry. If you're a cat lover... if you're a cat lover, you got extra grace. That's all I got to say about you, man. You're an extra grace person because you like them cats. Man, them cats are sneaky, man. They love you 1 second and, you know, it's like, I don't know, man. Dogs, you understand. Dogs bark and you understand. Dog, you know, I'm just saying. Anyway, let's go on. The biggest challenge that the believers have is the area of their feelings. Because this is what people say all the time. I feel, you can fill in the blank. I feel what? Sick. I feel depressed. I feel angry. I feel hungry. I feel mad. I feel sad. And feelings move you to action. It's the feelings. Listen, we are not feeling-led people. As a believer, We are Spirit-led people. And you don't feel the Spirit. You faith walk, not feel walk. That's why he said we walk by faith, not by feelings, by sight, by hearing. We walk by faith. But our feelings dominate most of our life. I don't feel like gathering with believers today. I feel like staying home because I work so hard and I'm so tired. Am I relating to anybody besides myself? Come on, come on. Anybody else, everybody else know and understand what I'm saying? You feel like slapping that person. They cut in front of you. You feel like giving them the sign of the cross. Right. So you guys understand where I'm coming from. All this, you know, that guy wrote that song years ago on feelings, nothing more than feelings. He's wrong. It's a lot more that goes along with feelings. You know, I feel love. No, you feel lust. There is a difference. You know, love really isn't a feeling. It's more of a commitment than it is a feeling. It starts out in a maybe a attractiveness that the Lord puts there, you know, but it's really more than just a feeling. The reason so many divorces take place in America is because of feelings. You know, feelings make your emotions raw. They can really rise up. They can cause you to war, fight. They can cause all this bitterness and angerness. And really, I'm supposed to be talking about peace this morning, and I'm going to get there if you'll break out the sandwiches. Amen. So, amen. I'm going to get there this morning, and I'm going to get there when my iPad works really right. So I need a new one. Thank you, Lord. I'm believing God. New many. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So I'm feeling that I'm going to break out my phone. Hallelujah. I'm going to do that this morning because God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Wow. So here's the thing. We have to overcome that feeling and deal with that all of our life. Because, you know, that's where we're going to win a lot of our victory is when we're really realizing we're not walking by our feelings any longer. We're walking by faith and we're walking by spirit and we're staying in the peace of God. God wants us to stay in the peace, in his peace. And that's where we're staying. We're staying in the peace of God. Hallelujah. God desires us to stay in that peace. God doesn't want you out of that peace. He gave you that peace. You have that peace in your spirit. Amen. You know, we should always be walking in peace, not in our feelings. You know, there's the world is full of stuff, you know, of avoidance mentality, like don't eat that. I'm amazed at how people, you know, what? The Bible says pray over your food and receive it with thanksgiving. Oh, don't eat this, don't eat that. Pray over your food and just receive. Be at peace, man. There is going to be barbecue in heaven. Be at peace. I'm telling you right now. Well, no, you know, Jesus never would eat pork. Well, he was under the law. I'm under grace. Receive it with grace. Pray over it. Thank you, Jesus. I sanctify this barbecue pig. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, there's all kinds of books on health that talk about, you know, all this avoiding types of food. And, you know, and I know a lot of things aren't good for you, but the Bible says do everything in moderation. You can have a little bit. A little dab will not hurt you. A little dab may be good for you. Amen? It's when we get over out of moderation with stuff. Are y'all listening to me? Amen? And so, you know, those who advocate that they're implying that the earth has not fallen and we cannot trust in creation and we must, you know, man, just enjoy your life. Walk in peace, enjoy your life. Look at Romans 5:1-2. Let's go through this a little bit this morning. If you are saved, you have the peace of God. If you are saved, you have the peace of God. You need to know how to appropriate that peace, but you have it. It is a part of your DNA. It is who you are in Jesus. Amen. He is the Prince of Peace. Praise God. Therefore, since we are justified, you can just put it up in the King James or New King James, declared righteous, given a right standing, we'll go ahead with God. Through what? Through our feelings or what? Because some days you don't feel saved. Anybody ever feel that way? Anybody ever feel that way? You didn't feel saved? You didn't even feel sanctified. You just didn't even feel, right? That's why we walk by faith, standing with God through faith. Let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of God, peace of reconciliation, to hold and to enjoy peace with God. We have it to hold and to enjoy. The literal Greek means let us have peace. Let us possess peace with God actively. We are to be possessing the peace of God actively. That's why you don't need to be anxious, afraid. Anxiety comes from the lack of trust, and anxiety is hooked up with fear. And God doesn't want any of those operating in your life. God just desires you to be in the state of shalom, peace. Amen. God's got you. Turn to somebody and say, God's got you. Turn to somebody and say, it's going to be all right. Don't worry about the IRS. I know you just did your taxes. Don't worry about it. It's going to be all right. Amen. Many people have more faith in the devil's ability to hurt and destroy than they do in God's protection. Why do we give him so much? Why do we give the devil so much credit for? He has been defeated. He does not have a foot to stand on. Defeated. Y'all get that later, right? Faith can be defined as having a good opinion of God. Most people don't have a good opinion of God. They think God's mad at them. God is just, man, he's about ready to get them. He's going to whoop them. Everything is caused by God. God caused my daughter, my son, in that accident. God caused this to happen. God caused that to happen. You know what? God is nothing but good. And when you start understanding, you need to change your theology or change your God, because we serve a nothing but all the time, always good God. Your theology's messed up when you start blaming God for these things that God had nothing to do with it. There are natural consequences in this world. There's natural laws. You get up on that building, jump off that building. Perhaps you will either hurt yourself or die, because there is a law in place. You take your car and you go around a curve that's designed for 25 miles an hour and you're going 100 miles an hour, there's going to be a problem. Don't blame it on God. God didn't do that. Hello? God gives life, not death. God doesn't take away. God is a giver. He gives life. God is a producer of life. That's why Jesus said, I've come to give you what? Death? No, I've come to give you life. How? More abundantly. He said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life. Start blaming it on who is the blamer, the correct one. Turn to somebody and say, he's preaching really good to you right now. Abraham was strong in faith. He had such a good opinion of God. Listen, if God shuts a door, he can always open up a window. Are you listening to me? Wow. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope for the glory of God. We are standing in God's favor. When you're standing in God's favor, you're standing in God's grace. There's nothing, man, there that is outside of peace. It's all about peace when you understand your position in favor in Christ. Hallelujah. Job 22:21. You know, Job was one of the oldest books around. Job is one of the oldest books around, oldest book written, Job 22:21. Now, acquaint yourself with him and what? Acquaint yourself. Know him. Know God. Know who God is. Understand God's nature. Understand God's love for you. Understand God loves you in spite of yourself. Understand, in his eyes, you're not a failure. Why? Because his son wasn't a failure. In Christ, you are success. Everything you put your hand to will be prospering. Amen? Why? Because the God we serve is a successful God. Be at peace with him. Acquaint yourself with him. Know him. Spend time with him. Hang out with him. He is nothing but good. You'll find the more you hang out with him, the more you understand how good he is. Hallelujah. He is so good. Amen. Wow. Even if we do nothing for God, God still loves you. You didn't lift a finger. God still loves you. Whoa. Religion will say, do, do, do. God says, done, done, done. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow. You know, if I had a $100 bill, do they still make $100 bills? Does anybody know? Do they still make those? How many? Do they? Okay. Amen. If I had a $100 bill this morning, and I took the $100 bill, and I wadded it all up, crinkled it all up, and I had a mud pond here, and I stomped it in the mud, and just ran my foot over it, picked it out of that mud, how many would still want that $100 bill? Why would you still want it? It's still what? It's still value. Don't you allow the enemy to tell you that you're not worth value. You may have been drugged through the mud, beat up, divorced, hello, hurt, spoken about. I wrote something this week. I thought it was, maybe somebody else had already written it, but I thought it was pretty profound. I said, you know what, if somebody's going to gossip to you about somebody, they're going to gossip to someone else about you. Spoken about, cheated on, betrayed, slapped, spit, everything. But I want to tell you this, your so value and worth to God is at the top of his list. I read the other week that they found an old painting, I can't remember if it was Leonardo da Vinci or who it was, and they said it was found, and it was not in the greatest condition, but it was worth millions of dollars because of the author of that painting. Well, I'm going to tell you, God's authored you and authored your life, and you are value to him. You are worthy. Don't you ever allow the enemy to come into your life and start talking to you and telling you you're not valued and you're not worth, because I'm telling you, it costs Jesus for you. Turn to somebody and say, that's you. Wow. Now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Wow. Thereby goodwill will come to you. Look at 1 Peter 3:10-11. The one thing we're told to pursue is peace. Once we understand grace, we must enter his peace. Grace and peace, favor and shalom, are twins. They go together. Shalom is not just peace in our mind. It is wholeness and completeness in our body, mind, soul, and spirit. Dis-ease is not peace. Dis-ease is not peace. Are you listening to me? God doesn't want you being in dis-ease. God put the word shalom in the mouth of the Jewish people. Even though they don't know Jesus today, they still declare to one another when you pass them, shalom. It keeps them healthy. Hallelujah. Let's look at this. All right, let's look at this. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and let his lips from speaking what? From speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him what? Seek peace and pursue it. The blood of Jesus removed all sin. When the death angel in the Old Testament, you know, visited them that night at one of the plagues, God told the Israelites to take a lamb, a sacrificed lamb, take the blood, put it over the doorpost of their house. And the death angel, when he saw the blood, would pass over them. Amen? Amen. The blood gives us the security. The word says, I will pass over you or give you the assurance. Amen. The assurance. We have to have a good opinion of God because he's kinder to us than we can ever imagine. What we deserve is what we didn't get. What Jesus didn't deserve is what he got. He loves us more than you can imagine. Amen. He loves you so much. Hallelujah. We're not asked to remain downcast and sorrowful. 1 Peter 5, let's go to 1 Peter 5, 6 and 8. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 8. I'm trying to hurry up. Break out the sandwiches, somebody. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he might exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, why? 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 Because he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. When we are asked to humble ourselves so that we can be exalted. You know, when others saw a shepherd boy, God saw what? A king. God sees a king in you. God sees a king in you, a queen in you. Pride is keeping our cares to ourselves. It's saying that we don't believe God can really take care of us. God wants us to cast all our cares on him because he cares for you. Therefore, humble yourself in the sight of God. He cares for you. Amen? You know, how many know the Hebrew? How many's ever studied Hebrew? Has anybody had the privilege of studying Hebrew? I hated it in college. It was hard. It's hard to pronounce. You know, I'm from Arkansas, and I don't pronounce half of my words correct anyway. My wife helps me out. That's why I married an English teacher, because, you know, I knew God knew I needed to help, right? So, but Hebrew doesn't read like we read it. Hebrew reads from right to left instead of from right to left, okay? So the Hebrew word for Rapha, how many's ever heard the word Rapha? Anybody ever heard the, what does Rapha mean? Anybody tell me, you Hebrew scholars out there? Healer. Rapha means healer. Now, not only does the Hebrew language, not only does it have the alphabet, but it also has pictures, okay? So there's pictures that go along with the alphabet. We're going to put that up this morning. Can you see that? How cool is that? Amen? I want to show you this morning, if I can pick this out today, of the word Rapha and the Hebrew spelling and writing. First, it's resh, it's head. That's the first part of it, Rapha, resh. Then the second part is pay, mouth, word, speak. And then the last part is alif, which is ox, strength, leader, or sacrifice. God designed us to be at peace in our bodies. He wants your body to be healed and at peace. Are you hearing me this morning? No pain, no sickness. God designed you to live to be 120 years old if you want to be. If you want to be. A lady just died at 117 the other day. She almost made it, but God's designed you as a believer to live 120 years old. No disease. Functioning in every way. No disease. And God gave us this word Rapha, and what he says is with your head, with your mouth, speak. Speak the sacrifice. Speak Jesus. When you're sick, God gave you Rapha to be healed, to be at peace. He says, speak it out of your mouth. God desires you to speak out of your mouth what Jesus has done. Hallelujah. The root word of Rapha is Rapha, which means to relax. Relax. It's head, mouth, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, hey. Hey means grace. God's given you grace. Hallelujah. Relaxing, we relax in grace because grace has taken care of it for us. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying. Did you get this morning? We are relaxing in grace because grace and peace go hand in hand. Jesus took care of it for us. Hallelujah. The Hebrew word for healthy is this. It's son, hand, sacrifice, grace. The Son, by his power, by his sacrifice, has given us grace to be healthy and to walk in health. That's why he said in Psalm 107, verse 20, he sent his word and healed them. His word was Jesus. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. Our peace in our body is when we begin to speak out what Jesus has done for us. When we begin to exalt the cross. Shalom, hallelujah, which means payment in full, nothing lacking, nothing broken. When we speak it out of our mouth, and so many times we're so hesitant to do that, well, I don't know. No, speak it forth. Shalom over my family. Shalom over my business. Shalom over my body. Shalom over my mind. Shalom over my relationships. Woo! Hallelujah! Nothing lacking, nothing broken. Wow. Man, how many give me 5 more minutes this morning? 5 more minutes? 10? Elise loved, oh my gosh, she loves listening to the Baroque music. You know what I call highbrow music? You know, all that, you know, classical. She's done that for a child. And scientists have found out that people who listen to that, there's a really calming effect to it. And actually they say if you let your children growing up listening to that, that they'll be very smart. There's just something about that music. But I want to tell you something else. There's something about praise and worship too, music, that has the effect on you, especially your soulish rim. That's why when we come together and we join in praise, it's so vitally important, because it's setting you up for your week and to receive the word. It opens you up. Praise is powerful, and praise and worship music, good praise and worship music, amen. Worship music that exalts Jesus in grace and not the law. Woo! That is powerful stuff, man. Some of that music exalts the law and makes you feel worse when you're singing it than before you started. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Why aren't you rejoicing now? Why are you waiting to get to heaven? Well, when I get there, I can finally rejoice. No, you need to be rejoicing now. God did something for you now. You don't have to wait till you get there to rejoice. Rejoice now. Amen. Raise your children on good Christian worship. You got kids, you got grandkids, raise them. Put out some good. It's okay to throw Chicago in once in a while. It's all right, man, if you can handle that. Some of you aren't there to handle that yet, and you get over on that, and you get on that funky side, and you get on that funky thought and all your funkiness that you used to have when you used to funk, right? You get on that, and you just think about all them memories, and all them boys used to like me, and all them, you know, all them girls used to like me, and woo, get off that. If you can't handle it, don't listen to it. Hello, let grace operate in your life. If you can't handle it, don't listen to it. It's just better. If you can handle it, it's all right. Boy, you're real quiet right now. Play that funky music, white boy. You know, if you can handle it, listen to me. If you're graced for it, it's okay. It's like you're being delivered from alcohol and then want to go and witness to those guys at the bar. If you're graced for it, it's okay. But if you want to fall back into alcoholism, you're in the wrong place, baby. You're not graced for it yet. God gives you enough grace to grace you for different areas of your life. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Amen. There's nothing wrong if you know, Jesus drank wine, but you don't want to be a wine bibber. Right? Hello? Nothing wrong with a cold beer, but you don't want to be, y'all, don't be religious on me now. But you don't want to be an alcoholic. Right? Walk in your grace. Turn to somebody and say, he's really preaching to you right now. Amen. Y'all are real quiet. Like, well, we in this Presbyterian church, we just don't believe in that stuff. You lying. You were doing it. Man, people just lie. Religious spirits lie. They'll lie. They'll tell you to your face, no, I don't. I'm saved, sanctified. I don't smoke, chew, drink, or go with those do. You liar. Hello? You ain't doing that. You're gossiping. So, just saying. Well, I'm preaching really good this morning. Are y'all still with me? Y'all still with me? Okay, I just want to get down to a point here. I want you to turn to, wow. Hallelujah. I want you to turn to 2 Kings 4:20 through 26. I'm going to try to get through this real quick, and we're going to close with this, and I'll let you guys grab a sandwich. take some home. Was that all right? Did I explain that well, Jeff? Yeah, did you receive that? I just want to make sure, man. I know you can. You're a musician, man. You got it, baby. I just put this up in the New King James or something, if you would. You know, it's amazing because God's graced us for different areas, right? And we need to walk in the grace that God has given us. Don't be foolish. Be wise. Amen. Don't be stupid. Be wise. Right? I want to show you this. We walk by faith. We don't walk by feelings. How many know that? Shulamite woman. Her son died. Anybody remember the story? Shulamite woman's son died. I'm just kind of picking up from there. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he set on her knees till noon, and then what? Died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back. So he said, why are you going to him today? It's neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. And she said, baby, our son just died. Oh, my God, what are we going to do? What'd she say? Did she have that emotional response? Was her life full of fear? Was she falling apart? What'd she say? It is. Was she going by her feelings at that time? Are you kidding me? It's going down. Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not be slacking the pace for me unless I tell you. And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. I've been to Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel is one of the coolest places on earth. You stand on Mount Carmel, and down below is the Valley of Armageddon. And down in that valley, I was watching these jets go back and forth, and I couldn't see where they were coming from and where they were going. And I asked my guide. Actually, I didn't ask my guide. I asked a friend of mine who worked in Israel for their defense department. And he said, oh, Steve, by the way, the reason you didn't see where they were coming or going, because there's a secret landing field underground right there in the valley. I said, whoa, really? And what I love most about Mount Carmel, not only about this story and Elijah and all that, but down at the bottom of Mount Carmel, there's a falafel stand. And it's the best falafels I ever had in Israel. And if you go, I'll take you there. You'll love it. Amen. And so they departed and went to the man of God in Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to his servant Gehazi, look, the Shulamite woman, please run now to meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? What was her response? Everything's falling apart. Oh, I can't believe it. Oh, my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, my. Did she have that response? What did she say? It is well. Now, when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to push away, but the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress. But he had a beautiful spirit about him, didn't he? Amen. Me and has not told me. So she did. I asked a son of my Lord, did I not say? Well, you know the rest of the story. Elijah went and laid up on the boy, and the boy came back to life. How many know that? How many read that story? Hallelujah. Beautiful story. You know what? It as well is translated. It is translated shalom. Nothing lacking, nothing broken. Shalom. Hallelujah. You know, that's my prayer for every one of you today. There's nothing lacking in your life, and there's nothing broken. God loves you so much today. Amen. Your heart and life is just full of shalom. When you go out about, that forbearing spirit is just so gracious to people that they see that shalom in your life and they know you're going through it. They say, wow, I don't know about that guy, man. I know what's going on at work. I know what's going on at home. But wow, look at this guy. He's just walking in such peace. Hey, man, what's going on with you? How can you be in such peace? Because Jesus. Stand this morning. Praise God. It is well. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. I know I'm about five keys higher than most of you. It is well with my soul. That's where it needs to be well. It's already well in your spirit. It is well. It is well with my soul. Let's raise your hands this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. What you say out of your mouth this morning, it is well. Say shalom. It's ruling my soul today. Out of my spirit. Into my soul. Into my mind. I have peace with God. I am not disturbed. I am not anxious. I am filled with God's love. In fact, I have a good opinion of God. Abraham had such a good opinion that he could take his son up a mountain and said, we're going to worship, but me and the lad shall return. He couldn't see that God already designed and had that provision for him there. He just kept going up the mountain while the ram was coming up the other side. I'm telling you, your provision's already met this morning. God is your provider. Hallelujah. Jehovah Jireh. He is your provider. You know, you don't have to look to a man, single ladies. God is your husband. Amen. He is your provider today. Men, you don't have to look for a woman. God, if you're single, God is your provider today. He loves you. If you're married couples, God is your provider this morning. Jehovah Jireh, your peace today, your healer, Jehovah Rapha. Hallelujah. You're all in all. Raise your hand. There's such a wonderful spirit here this morning. Hallelujah. It is well. It is well with my soul. Hallelujah.
It is well.
It is well
with my soul.
With my soul.
It is well.
Some praise this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise God. Turn to five people this morning and say shalom to you. Amen. Amen. Grab you some sandwiches. Take them home with you, please. Praise God. You're a blessed people today.